Welcome back to That 590 Show. Very happy to have our next guest, or our first guest, I should say, on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at TheJJBailey and read him at KMOV.com. He is the Nashville-bound J.J. Bailey. J.J., how are you, sir?
I'm currently in Nashville.
Oh, okay, so you're already in Nashville.
Oh, yeah, I'm down here. It's Predators fever, man.
As well it should be. Are you there for a bachelor party, or are you there to watch a hockey game?
I'm actually here. I brought my girlfriend here for her birthday. She's been wanting to go for a while, so we planned the trip, and we're down here. I got to tell you, though, they said this was like the new bachelorette capital of the United
Big
States.
Big time, yes.
We started counting as we got into town, and we've been counting groups of bachelorette parties. We are up to 13, and we've been here for about 2 hours. So, you know the bar cycle in Seward?
Yes.
Like that drives around. They got a fleet of those of about 15 or 20, and I swear you can't go 3 blocks without running into one.
I know people who lived in Nashville. They lived here, they moved to Nashville, and they moved back because they couldn't handle living in Nashville anymore because it's just become too annoying. Because it's become such kind of, it's a smaller town, and it's become such a tourist hotspot. Like you said, you saw 13 bachelorette parties there that they just couldn't handle it anymore, and they moved back.
I've heard people yelling woo for like 2 hours straight. I've heard the song 4 times. Those bikes, man.
But I've heard Nashville's a lot of fun, though. I haven't been in many years, but I've heard Nashville's a blast.
It's so far, it's been great. I stopped here. I usually stop here on my way down to spring training. I always stop at Peg Leg Porker and get some ribs. I can't recommend the food enough. The line of restaurants we got lined up is about 15 places long, so I'm gonna be looking like Jerome Bettis by the time I get back to St. Louis.
If it's third and short, give the ball to J.J. Bailey. He's going to pick up that yard.
Yeah, I'll just fall forward.
There you go. Speaking of picking up hearing woo, we were hearing too much of that today at Wrigley Field, at least not from the Cardinals fans. They fall to the Cubs 3-2, Chicago snapping that six-game losing streak. Just couldn't get it done today. They had an opportunity in the eighth inning. Yachty up with the bases loaded, and he struck out, and that was the end of the eighth. Wade Davis comes in with the ninth, and it was all she wrote.
Yeah, again, I mean, what we saw, continuation from the Dodgers series. Cardinals are able to score a couple runs, but the offense has not been there when they need it. You know, runners, you know, batting average of runners in scoring position, it's not a predictive stat, but it certainly is a measurement of outcomes. And what you're learning about this Cardinal team is, right now, they just cannot get the hits when they need them, and that's what's killing them. You know, they had that 3-run lead. You know, they start off, they get these big leads to start games, and it just starts like a ticking clock because you start thinking if they don't get 4 or 5 runs in the first, it's not going to be enough. And it happened again today. You strand the bases loaded. You know, obviously you lose a ball in the sun. That sort of thing happens. But when those things happen, or when guys like Mike Leake have their worst outing of the year and it's 4 runs allowed, you need the offense to come through for you. And this team has no offensive cohesion. And the problem is there's no real solutions to that problem. There's no person who you can say, well, that guy needs to be in the lineup every day, except for maybe Tommy Pham, who, wouldn't you know it, watched this loss from the bench today. But Tommy Pham isn't going to win you every single game by himself. The biggest problem is they have so many holes in this lineup that no amount of rearranging the pieces seems to fix the problem.
Do you think it's a lack of talent, or do you think it's just too many players slumping at all at once?
The realist in me wants to say it's a talent issue, but also if you go back and look, I mean, these are guys on this team that did produce runs. Last year, this team was able to produce runs, and a lot of times it was the only thing that kept them around in the hunt was an offense that could hit. And, I mean, you're obviously the biggest issue to point to is Matt Carpenter. You know, last year we looked at all those guys hitting home runs, and all of them were hitting home runs at a higher rate than they ever had, and they happened to all be doing it at the same time, which is part of where their success came from, especially late in games. This year they all seem to be hitting home runs at a lower rate, and they all seem to be doing that at the same time. And Matt Carpenter is the guy that really, really stands out because he's been that guy for the last 3 years on this offense that if you can get to Matt Carpenter in the lineup in a close game, you have a chance. And right now, Matt Carpenter is replacement level at the plate.
What do you think the issue is with Matt Carpenter? Is it as simple as, hey, he's only comfortable batting leadoff and that's it? Do you think it's that? Do you think he's unhappy with the organization, tired of losing? I mean, we saw the way he reacted when he was confronted about that base running blunder last weekend against the Chicago Cubs, and he basically said, no, I would do it again. What do you think's going on with Carpenter?
Well, that's really interesting. That's an interesting question, because I think part of this is frustration-based, right? Mistakes get compounded, frustration gets compounded, and then it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way. And for the longest time, I've always said it seems, you know, objectively preposterous that a guy can only hit in one spot in the order, right? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. The game does not change whether you bat fifth, second, or first. But what we have seen over the last 2 years is one of the most peculiar statistical anomalies, that he just hits better at leadoff. And when he moved to second, he went in the tank. And now he's been batting third, and he's been in the tank all year. And I can't quite bring myself to say that might be the problem, but I certainly can't, you know, I can't discard it entirely anymore. There might be some psychological comfort level that he doesn't even really fully understand. It might be subconscious, but there is something very strange going on that he just absolutely crushes in the leadoff spot and looks lost everywhere else. I think another part of it is pitchers have found his only weakness. He gave up a lot of strike calls on the outside half of the plate in the last couple of years, a lot of which he disputed, thought they weren't strikes. Some of the time he was right, but pitchers have found that his one area of plate discipline weakness is when they work the outside half. And you see him swinging and missing on pitches. You see him swinging at pitches that he would never chase before. I think that's part of the frustration aspect. But I think it's a combination of not being fully comfortable with where he is in the lineup. I don't know exactly how that makes sense, but the numbers seem to bear that out. And then pitchers picking apart at the weakest spot of his game. And then as success doesn't come, you start to make more failure because you try too hard to succeed.
Do you think that deep down there might be some kind of psychological issue that he was upset that they signed Dexter Fowler and they knew that Dexter Fowler was going to be batting leadoff? Kind of like, what? I mean, you couldn't find anybody else to hit behind me. You have to replace me in the order. Do you think that maybe he's on some level maybe offended by what the club did?
You know, I can't speak to that. I think that might be reading too much into it. Obviously, I mean, it could be true, we've seen no evidence of that. He's not given any indication of that, even in the way he words answers. There's been no subtext that would indicate that at all. But guys are professional athletes, are wound very tight, and they're very, very competitive, and they have a groove in which they feel the most comfortable. It's possible that being moved out of the leadoff spot or knowing there's going to be moved out of the leadoff spot did something to affect him, but he's given no indication of that, and I think it's less, you know, an emotional protest and more maybe a subconscious comfort thing. I think that, like, you know, you're just wired a certain way. You know, when you play baseball and if you were a three hitter and all of a sudden you have to bat leadoff for one day, you kind of change how you go up to the plate. Even though you know you're not supposed to, you just kind of do because you have this idea of what the leadoff guy is supposed to do. And it's possible that that mindset is what gelled perfectly with Matt Carpenter's skill set. And right now, he just doesn't feel as comfortable in the mindset of a three-hitter.
Another thing, too, is that the plan that the Cardinals had for this lineup at the very beginning of the season so far, that plan isn't working. You're going to have high on-base percentage guys at number one and number two, and then your best hitter, Matt Carpenter, at number three, and he was going to be the one that was going to drive them in. The problem is that, I mean, Dexter Fowler's on-base percentage isn't bad. It's .320, but Aledmys Diaz, his on-base percentage isn't very good. It's below .300, and those are going to be like the setup people, I guess you could say, for Matt Carpenter to drive them in. So far, that hasn't worked, so that could be part of it, too. And that maybe that's an implication or a maybe that's a bad move on management's part that they had no plan B. They had plan A. Plan A's not working, and now they have no plan B.
Well, and, you know, I've been a big advocate for Matt Adams in the past, and when you're looking at a team that can't score runs, you're looking at a team that's having trouble getting that bad hit, you know, you start seeing that Matt Adams-sized hole. You'd like a guy like that off the bench. Or in a situation like this, you'd like the chance to change it up and give him a run of 10, 15 games in a row and see if he can't be the bopper you were missing. You don't have that option anymore. Excuse me. And like you said, there was no plan B. There was no, you know, if this doesn't work, well, you know, it's like shark's teeth. We'll just move one row up and we'll just try the next guy. That isn't there. And we talked about Eleven Diaz. His weighted runs created plus is like 76. Piscotty, who has looked, for the most part, lost at the plate most of the year and has played far less games, his is 116. So Eleven Diaz is at the point where you almost got to give him a few days off and let him regroup physically and mentally, because right now he's struggling. And his big value proposition was he didn't strike out a lot. He was a tough out, and he got on base. And you start planning a lineup around that promised value. If that promised value doesn't show up and you have no replacement for that value, now you have what you're looking at with Mike, you know, rejiggering the lineup as much as he can. But the problem is he's just shifting deck chairs around on the Titanic.
Yeah.
There's nothing he can do with this lineup that solves the problem just because the ammunition is not there.
I think what's going on with Stephen Piscotty, and it's certainly understandable, as we found out over the weekend that his mother has been diagnosed with ALS. And I mean, I don't want to see anybody who's going to be normal after that news. So I think
I think that could be the reason why you're seeing Piscotty struggle. Yeah, and that's certainly probably part of it. You know, personal things affect the way you play. I think part of it, too, is even before that news, you know, was fully realized and he fully internalized it, he was also still going through reworking his swing again.
Yeah.
And so it's not that Stephen Piscotty has earned the face. And what he did was rework his swing, trying to find a little bit better timing, a little bit more power, and that takes time to get comfortable. And there's certainly plenty of games to play until then. But, you know, he's bearing a pretty significant weight, too. And so it's an understandable outcome if he never really reaches the point that he was expected to this season, because not only is he bearing a lot of physical changes, but he's bearing a lot of mental stress and emotional pain. And so that is another concern, you know, for this lineup. Obviously, family comes first, and that's a much more important issue for Stephen Piscotty than offensive production. But if you're looking at this as a lineup, you know, you have a guy that you're going to have to give some space to work some stuff out. And that means you need other people to step up. And right now, there's nobody, you know, Jed Jerko has been as solid as he can be, and Tommy Pham has been everything that Tommy Pham said he was going to be if he ever got to play and be healthy. And then next on the list is flip a coin for that day.
Yeah. That's the problem.
So that's the problem.
This Cardinals lineup has nobody that you fear. Not one person. There's nobody in the car. If you're a pitcher, there's nobody. When you look at this Cardinals lineup, even when Jed Jerko's is in there, and Jed Jerko's, I mean, he's their best hitter, but I don't think there's one pitcher out there that really fears Jed Jerko. Now, they respect him, but they don't fear him.
Well, and he's not Albert Pujols by any means, you know. But what you're looking at, you know, back in those days, if you get to Albert, well, then all bets are off. The problem is, even if Jed Jerko is hitting a home run a game, just walk him.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're up two in the ninth inning and you have the bases loaded, and you're a manager, you could just walk Jed Jerko, give the Cardinals a run, and you'd probably still be fine right now. And that's the problem. Even your best hitters can be taken out of the equation because there's nobody to back them up right now.
JJ, enjoy your time in Nashville. We look forward to having you on again. As always, you're more than welcome to join us here in the studio whenever you like. I hope your girlfriend has a very happy birthday.
Absolutely. I will pass along the good message. Hopefully I'll see you in the studio soon.
Sounds good, JJ. Have a good weekend.
You too.
That is the JJ Bailey from KMOV.com. You can follow him on Twitter at the JJ Bailey. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, Andrew Claudio from Gotham SN and the Nothing But Knicks podcast.
We do a little breaking news. There's no point in waiting the 20 minutes to get it out to you when it's out there on Twitter. Might as well keep you as updated as possibly. The Kansas City Chiefs have made a roster move, a designated post-June 1st cut. Jeremy Maclin is now a free agent.
Oh,
the
wow.
Chiefs hacking away the former Mizzou wide receiver. Big clue here, both Therese Paylor and Dave Matter kind of shocked on Twitter about this one. So this is a move even the beat writers, the guys around the Chiefs, didn't really see coming.
I didn't see it coming. Jeremy didn't see it coming
now,
either.
Paylor points out very, very big. It's $10 million releasing their cap. So while it seems like a shocking move on the surface, when you think about his lack of production last year and $10 million in cap room,
Alex Smith is a quarterback.
True, but he was bad last year, and Tyreek Hill put up numbers even in the passing game. So when you look at those kind of things, I think maybe there's a reason why the Chiefs maybe lost confidence in him at that price.
Could very well be. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Andrew Claudio from Gotham SN and the Nothing But Knicks podcast. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.